Worst case scenario.
Die Bestatterin.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Worst Case Scenario.
Die Bestatterinnen, hi!
Hi, I'm Sarah.
I'm Helena.
And today we have two guests in the studio.
This is very exciting.
Finally, we've been waiting for this. You all have been waiting for this for so long.
Yeah, it's great because we are talking about something that maybe no one knows outside.
And all of you had so many questions about.
Like you have. Like I have
like
the same.
We do. Yeah, but okay, without further ado, welcome to the studio, Sophie and Trix.
Hello.
Hello.
No, we have the motto.
Wait. Oh no, it's not turned on. That's a bummer. Okay, hang on.
Wait.
Which one is it? This one.
Yeah.
Yay! Welcome.
Hello.
Thank you for having us here.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for coming. So Sophie is the person that we've been advertising for a month now, and we finally made it because we are all so busy. It took us a while, but we finally made it. Sophie is an embalmer. I actually looked up before because in German, I think the German word for what you do is way cooler. Thanatopraktikerin.
I think it's not a German word. It's Latin.
Yeah, but so, and I was like, okay, what's the exact word in English? Is embalmer correct? And then I looked it up on Wikipedia, which I do a lot for translations of things. But there's no, like, there's a Thanatopraxie article in German, but there's not one in English. So I'm asking you now, what's your profession in English?
It's embalmer.
It's an embalmer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Embalmer.
So
all right.
The normal embalmer.
Just your normal next door embalmer.
Exactly. Yeah, not normal, but yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you for coming. And Trix, you came along spontaneously. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi.
You're a funeral director.
Yes, like I'm a funeral.
So yeah, the two of you are working together, and actually you're just off of work on a Sunday. So you just.
What did you do today?
Yeah, what did you do? You want to tell us what you did today?
Gestern bekam ich einen Anruf. In einer Familie ist jemand gestorben zu Hause, und sie wollten, dass er noch eine Nacht.
Oh yeah, that's nice. That's also a thing that so little people are aware of, that they can actually keep a person after they died. They can keep them at home, and that's what just happened. So you got a call yesterday. And then that person was allowed to what we said in one other episode is like, until they are dead as a nail, they can stay at home. Like they die, but they aren't really dead yet, even though they may be dead, but keeping them at home, maybe overnight, and keeping them with the family lets them really die until they are really, really dead. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So and then today you came in and it was all calm and nice and you had coffee and then you started. So Sophie, what happened then? What did you do with the with the widow?
Oh, so we washed the deceased one and we dressed him and make everything fresh and nice for him.
But this is not embalming, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say that was pretty regular.
Can I ask a question to Sophie? As I want to know, can you explain what embalming is? As exactly what you do when you embalm someone, and who need that?
Everyone. No, I'm joking. So people get embalmed when they maybe go to foreign languages, countries, when they have maybe a funeral in the few weeks, for example, and they have to keep them maybe for weeks that the family can come and say goodbye to them. And also, so when you have like these mausoleums, the graveyard, so when you bury them over the ground, so they have to be embalmed also. And people get embalmed, so you exchange the blood into a special fluid.
Wait a second, wait a second. Let's go one after the other. First of all, like, let's start. Like, someone die.
Yes.
Someone call you and say, we want to do this funeral in 3 weeks. So, and we want to have an open casket, whatever.
Yes.
And so we would like to have him, like, he's asleep or she's asleep. Like,
yes.
Fresh.
Yes.
So
yeah.
What happened from this moment to the, also, what happened? What do you do? Like, let's say. So
you pick the body from home or from the hospital and bring it to the morgue. So and the body stay there, and then I go there and prepare the body for the embalming. So
that's mean.
That means so now.
How do you prepare a body for embalming?
So you have to.
Wäschst du den vorher? You wash him.
Yeah, so you have to check. You have to check on the body. So how old is the body? How long is it diseased? Do you have maybe an autopsy? Is there a lot of water, fluid, anything?
Mm-hmm.
So first you check the body, and you have to check, is it the right body? And also you have to have all papers together for the sign from the family and everything. And and when you're right that you have the correct body and all papers together, identify the body, then you can start with your preparations. It means that you have your special clothing, what you have to wear for the embalming. Then you have your special fluids, so not everybody is the same, so you have special fluids for everybody. And so
what do you mean? I did it once. Twice.
Oh, really?
I did it twice because my dream was to become a Thanatopraktikerin.
Okay.
I left this dream because I can tell you later, for me was too much of invasive on a body.
Yes.
I think that dead people should be left alone. And for me was one moment, I tell you later, one moment that I thought this is too much for even a dead person can't use that. So that was my idea. But I remember we were wearing masks.
That's the point, how you handle a corpse. You can do it with love and care, or you can do it like maybe you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you would see how I do this, I think I do it with a lot of love, with my... I do have a special bond to my deceased ones, so I would never harm them. And if I do something, then I say I'm sorry.
So you talk to them.
Yes. Deshalb ist sie bei mir.
Sure.
Genau.
So I do have a special bond to them. So I would never. Sure, I have my little instruments, but I would never. Yeah.
Okay. Can
I wish you could all see the movement she's making with her hands right now.
So now I have one moment I remember that I thought it was very. And then please talk us through the process. When you take the head, like the face all over.
Yes.
There was the moment that because before that was opening was. Cutting, take organs out and so on. Okay, I can deal with that. And I didn't feel it was too invasive because I was freedom this body from all the dirt to make him like... But the moment of the head, umstülpen, how do you say
like
that?
Peeling off the...
Really like take...
Like
turn it upside down.
Turning it inside out. Like you peel off the entire... I have never done this and I didn't know this. So you actually scalp a person and peel off the entire.
Yeah, it was like at some point.
Is that a thing you do every time?
Mm-hmm. I do it also without embalming.
Mm-hmm.
So because a lot of times, so you got something like a gap in the head. And
when there was an autopsy
in
performed.
In the open casket. And when they're on the pillow, so you have this gap and it.
I think we got kind of lucky up to now because every time that happened, it were people with like a full head of hair, and we could just like.
Or sometimes, so they do not nice stitches, I have to. I do it nice and so I clean everything inside and do it nice.
Oh, that's a facial.
Frieden.
So that's mean at the end, everything you do, it's how you do it and not what you do it. Also it's like, to put it in a philosophical point of view, it's like, let's say everyone is afraid of a dead body. We are afraid maybe of like open skull and so on, but it's always depending who is doing that. Like Sophie,
yeah,
take,
you're doing it with. Yeah.
Like we take the fear of people to watch their own loved one being diseased because we are femito, like we can talk to them. Mm-hmm. And maybe Sophie can do that exactly with embalming, you know? And so that you do something like, as again, take a head off or take a face off, of, I mean, the face is our identity, is everything. And once you do it like this, maybe I saw it a little bit too rough and
that
I was
sounded like Velcro.
Yeah, or you do it like Sophie in a maybe sanfter, like more soft way.
Yes.
And then it looks not so
drastic
and not so horrifying. But listen, Sophie, it's also like curiosity, right? Let's speak about why, I mean, you like the body, you... What is your like?
How long have you been doing this, and why?
Yeah, why did you start to do that? I mean, there must be something.
This creepy woman. Why are you doing this?
I mean, no, okay. We are all used to this question.
Ich habe dazu noch eine Anekdote.
Man, listen, to stop that. Everyone is asking us too. Why do you do that? Why do you work with the dead person? Like, why are you Bestatter?
Okay, jetzt ist mein Punkt. Warte, ich sag immer. Mademoiselle, eines Tages werden sie dich mit vergraben. Das musst du übersetzen. Eines Tages werden sie dich mit begraben, weil der Sargdeckel wurde geschlossen, weil du noch drinne bist am Verstorbenen und noch den Socken richtest, weil du in dem Sarg drinne bist, den Socken richtest und da wird der Deckel zugemacht und irgendwann sagen wir, wo ist denn der Sophie?
Alright, so what Trix just said is that Sophie has to take care that she's not getting buried alive at some point because they're just going to close the casket while she's still inside and fixing like the last bit on the deceased to make everything perfect for them because she respects and loves them so much that she will do that.
Yeah, you can take your hand off, Sophie.
But now I want my questions answered.
Exactly.
How long and why?
Why and how? So I'm in funeral business since 2004. So, and I was growing up next to a beautiful cemetery. So that's where everything started. And I saw all the time the beautiful hearses bringing the coffins. And I was a little girl playing next to the cemetery or on the cemetery. And yeah, so then I first saw my first dead disease. So it was a friend from my mom and... It was an open casket, so and I didn't expect it, and he didn't, was that, yeah, it was like, not shocking, but it was, he doesn't look nice.
How old were you when you saw that?
I was around 12.
Right, very young.
And I had that feeling, so I want to change it, but I couldn't, I was too little, and I was like, what? Going on here.
And you didn't know the word thanatopraxy, of course.
No, exactly. Or what a funeral director is or anything. So yeah. I was 15 and then I was going to the funeral director and I said, hello, I want to be a funeral director. And he was like, oh, Jesus, no. Yes, but I made it. Yeah.
So you went like the old-fashioned way?
Exactly. So I made my training as funeral director and embalmer, and now I'm doing my funeral master. So.
Oh, cool.
Okay, but embalming and being a funeral director, they are two different things.
Yes, exactly.
For me, they are two different. No, for everyone.
They are.
Yeah.
So I do the embalmings and also I do the reconstruction things. So especially for suicides and accidents. So I do all the jobs where the normal funeral directors say keep them in memory how they were and keep the casket closed. Then it's my turn. So it depends if they are maybe 4 weeks in the flat or they're jumping from maybe the fourth floor with the head first. Or, yeah.
Do you remember your first case?
Oh, my... First own case or what I
your first your first
reconstruction
work. Do you remember that?
It was a long, long time ago.
And how did you, was the approach? Was like easy? Was
I think it was a girl jumping from a hotel. It was the day when her best friend got married. She jumped, I think it was the 15th floor or something. So then I was in my training. Yeah, not nice.
Oh, wow.
And what did you do?
Oh, so we...
What was the work that had to be done?
Like? So we rebuilt, so we closed the wounds and we've done the makeup and we did the the open viewing with the special clothes for her. And yeah, so the family, they came from Poland and yeah. So it was not easy for the family and especially for the best friend because she got married on the same day and yeah, it was a weird situation. Yeah.
Yes.
Genau. Ich habe Mademoiselle Schöntod kennengelernt. Ich hatte eine Familie betreut, da gab es einen Suizidenten und der hatte eine sehr große Halswunde. Und ich wollte, Mademoiselle hat ihn wieder, er war wieder wie neu, sage ich mal, und die Mutter konnte an dem unversehrten Sohn Abschied nehmen. Und danach habe ich gesagt, nur noch wir beide bei den Verstorbenen.
He was good as new. Saying he was good as new about a dead person, I think, is the thing you will only hear.
Yeah, it sounds very strange.
Yeah. So yeah, the Trix just told us how they and Sophie met. When Trix had a case, there was a suicide with like a very big wound at the neck. And they really wanted to make it possible for the mom who had found her son like that, all covered in blood, to have a peaceful image to say goodbye to. And there was really nobody who wanted to help them. But then they were told, yeah, there's this one person who's a real pro, and it's this young woman. And that's how they met.
And how did the son look like?
And yeah, the son was good as new.
Okay.
Which is
strange.
What Trish said.
But okay, let's go through the process of a thanatopraxy. Like, you have the body, and then they come from the autopsy. Like,
yes.
So what do you do?
Then you, if you have the autopsy, or you have a normal case, so you have to decide what fluid do you use, and what index do you need, how long you want to prepare the body, and in which country is he or she going? So like in a warmer country or not warm. Yeah.
And what is the difference there? Like warm, you get another fluid?
So you have to have a higher index for this. And so you have to use other fluids. Also when you get maybe drug addicts, so or maybe when you have something with the liver and they're yellow, so you have to be very careful that you don't turn them from yellow to green.
So there's different fluids.
Not everybody is the same, so you have to decide before.
But do they come, are there like 10 different ones, or do you also like mix your own? Like
It's like a, yeah.
Oh, like a, you're like also an alchemist.
No, listen, but is it not formaldehyde what you put in
Yes,
the veins?
Yes, but you have... you have different ones, so you have to
like the density of the formaldehyde.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So and also the color. So you have maybe like more orange ones or more pink ones.
Oh, so the liquid
without color, especially for the yellow ones. So you have to decide which fluids are in this. Also, when you have a lot of water in the corpse or it's dehydrated, that you put more. Lanolin inside, so that not that dry, so
right?
That,
okay.
More fullness.
And they are also they have different shades of color because that also makes a difference when it's running, when like the fluid is running through the veins, so it makes the skin look different.
Exactly.
I never thought about that.
So you have
I don't know. It was pink.
Yeah. So you have the pinker ones, or you have. Also the ones without any
colors.
Exactly, inside. So
it's
then
amazing.
You get two different types of fluids. You get the one for the artery system, and you get the one for the body holds.
Mm-hmm.
So normally the body holds, it's green color.
Sounds like a painting restriction, like you know, like I was seeing now, like I don't know, the Mona Lisa is turning a little bit yellow, so we put some green in it to keep the colors that Leonardo made it at the very beginning. So at the end, you do like it's an artist, chemist,
so
something.
So many things to take into consideration, yeah.
Magier.
Like a doctor.
What does
she is a
magician.
Thank you.
What do these liquids smell like?
Oh, so it depends what company you're using.
We don't name
yeah,
the company
exactly.
now.
their fluids, they smell really good, and their fluids, they are like a little spicy and not that good. So don't smoke it, don't drink it. There are people, they smoke it, or they also...
So it's like cancer, no?
Yeah,
so
I'm re-watching 6 Feet Under at the moment, and there's this one episode where that dude steals embalming fluid from the funeral home because he's selling joints that he dipped in it.
Yes, exactly, don't do
so
that.
So that's, but that's real, that's something people do.
Can be
people
crack,
do.
Crack.
Oh my God.
Crack in a Richtung crack. I
weird.
Mean, it's like...
Okay.
Yes,
or the methyl, yeah...
Okay, so
don't try this at home.
No,
people.
Don't drink it, don't smoke it. But listen,
no.
Is it not cancer? As I remember, we were wearing masks.
Exactly, that's
so
why you always wear masks.
Because
this.
The fumes.
Exactly, so
mm-hmm.
always when you work with the fluids, you have to wear a mask. So also for the eye protection and your protection clothes so that you don't get anything on the hands and everything.
Can I ask a question? Because as a... This sounds maybe strange. I remember we had like a African guy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do with the skin there? The colors, I mean, every what is it there? I mean, this you can put the pinky one or something? Is this a stupid question?
No.
It's
but,
like, it must be like in the next level, right?
So it makes sense, sure, to make, to use the little pinky because here should they get the normal
on the hand you mean
exactly then you can see where the fluid is so you can also see this in the veins
yeah
so that the fluid is there but also when you see the pinky little color
on the fingertips
on the fingers or maybe the feet so you can see there's the fluid.
Oh right
yeah.
So to see
so,
it where it's running
exactly
yeah,
so
okay.
You can see where is it.
And what is the mistake you can make? Like, what could be a big mistake during the embalming? Like, to put too much fluids or...
Exactly. So you have to watch the body the whole time and you can overfill it. And also it got swollen maybe, so you have to be careful all the time, not with high pressure and do it slow and, keep the body in your eye.
Right. And it's a lot of blood, right? You have to take the blood out and then...
Exactly.
And then you put in... I remember it was a very difficult... Now you can explain that to me. The moment as a UF, as a...
Yeah,
you have here like the artery, the main
exactly.
artery.
At the neck.
At the neck. To find... Because they are very elastic.
Yes,
I remember
they
just jump in. And you have
mm-hmm.
to pull them and with a clamber, how do you call that?
Like a clamp.
A terrier clamp.
Yeah, you have to to find them and to
yes,
keep
you have
them
to,
there.
You have to preparate them, sure.
Exactly.
And you have your aneurysm hook, so
mm-hmm.
to keep them out. And,
and that was very difficult for me to find them. I remember the guy say, find them and keep them, and I was not very good in that. So.
Yeah, sometimes it takes a lot of time and you have to be careful, especially when they got maybe atherosclerosis, so you can't pull them because they're broken. And that's also...
You are a doctor upside down. Also, can you say upside down?
I like that, an upside down doctor. Just like you with your zombie makeup school.
Yeah.
You're now
an upside down
makeup artist.
No, I'm an upside down Bestatter. Can you say that? No, upside down... Makeup artist,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, upside down doctor. Basically, you have to... Is it a medicine studio that you do that?
No, but we have to do... So we have to know a lot about anatomy. So what are you doing if some arteries are blocked? And, or you have maybe open closes. How do you hide it then? Or, what... The hands are not full with fluid or the feet. To see what arteries and veins you can also use.
And is it a different, like, fat? If a person is very fat,
yeah,
is it more deep? As I don't know, it's small. As what is difference you have? As what is a difficult procedure you have to do? Like, what is when you say it's very difficult now?
Yeah, like a challenging case. What?
Yeah,
what
like
a challenging
watery.
Case?
Someone is dead in the water.
Water,
I guess.
Yeah, water corpses. Then maybe the bigger adipositas ones. Because the veins at the arteries are very deep in the skin and it's oily and I'm small and I can't look on the table then.
You should wear like plateau shoes.
Yes,
maybe.
Sometimes it's very needed because I can't look in the skin.
Like
so I'm too small normally for this job.
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Sophie is very, very tiny person, very, also like,
petite.
I think, petite,
yeah,
I would and very beautiful and very, very sensual, I guess,
yes.
I would say, and I imagine you, when people ask you what are you doing, they think maybe you're a ballet dancer, but then you come and you say, I'm doing thanatopraxy, and then they're like, what? And then I guess you're the center of every conversation, right?
Yes, I am.
Which is annoying sometimes, don't you think?
Yeah, sometimes it's like, okay, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Yeah, and what was the baddest thing you saw?
That just has to, I mean, that even happens to people that are just funeral directors.
Exactly.
And it has to be stopped.
Natrix, you know that, like,
yes.
What are you doing? And you go, I'm a Bestatter.
Yes, genau.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are the center of the conversation of the night, I guess, right?
There's always one, maybe one, but there's never more than one funeral director that you'll meet
at your party.
And if you're that one funeral director in the room, that's just what's going to happen for that night. The moment someone figures it out, they just ask you all kinds of questions. Like, one question that I really want to ask you before we're going to have to wrap this up at some point, which is probably one of those questions that people ask you because it is along the lines of what's like the worst thing. Like on a very practical level, if someone, because I'm asking this because the last time we wanted to record a podcast with you as a guest, you had to cancel because you, and I quote, had to put a face together or had to put a head together.
Yes.
So how, and I had images in my mind. I was picturing you with like tweezers, having little pieces of bone, and it's like a jigsaw puzzle. And you maybe have like a picture of the person. And you're like, wait, is this jawbone or is this forehead? Where does this go? So, am I close or how does this work?
Yes, it's close to this. So you have how to describe it. You have to put the pieces from the bones together. It depends how the head is maybe broken. If you're lucky, you have the whole face and you don't have to reconstruct a lot from the skin. Or maybe just the head bones, but every case it's not the same. So you have to see.
But if there's a chunk missing, what do you use to?
I rebuild it with, so with my stuff. So.
It's
yeah,
a pasta,
like
no? It's like it's
like epoxy.
Like
or
clay
something?
Or something. It's not clay, but
yeah,
it's
so
fimo.
Yeah, it's like
yes,
that.
Something
oh.
Like,
yeah.
Like this. So I have to. But yeah, I always have all parts.
Okay.
So
you've never had like a skull where there was a big chunk?
Once I was missing. A piece, but yeah.
And then?
And then, yes, I have to rebuild it.
Right.
And they didn't found it, so maybe there was a rat or something picking it up because there was, he was falling from the fourth floor.
All these people falling from somewhere, it's amazing.
It's always the fourth.
Ja, sie ist Thanatopraktikerin. Also.
No, but I mean, I thought
aus
maybe train.
And yeah, so there was a piece missing. But these are not the worst cases I've seen. I think so the worst cases I've seen is when they are normal cases and they're coming maybe from a hospital or a nursing home and you can see that they got maybe fixed in the bed and didn't get feet and got this big holes in the back that you can see they are laying there for months and nobody was caring of them. That's the worst. So
wow, this is happening in Germany.
Yes, it does. Yeah. You can show you pictures from There was once we got it also.
Meinst du decubitus?
Yeah, genau, the decubitus from where I couldn't put my my whole fist inside.
Oh
the
my
big
god!
Was the hole.
And
And what do we do against that? Is it something that we can do?
Normally, so they can't do anything. So you can go to the police and report it.
Pressure ulcer is what they are talking about right now. I just had to look up the English word. I didn't know what decubitus is in English. It's pressure ulcer.
Wow, that's so sad.
Yeah, it is. So these are the worst. People are expecting, so you're putting bones together and heads and everything is like hack, flesh, pizza. But that's not the worst. So because I see the before and the after, the cases where you can see where the humanity is gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I said, how you are to other people, how you take care of other people, how you take care of the diseased. Yeah.
So maybe because they were treated so bad in life, then you come and you give them like the last good treat.
Exactly.
Kind of sounds absurd, but
a little bit of tenderness that they haven't experienced.
Like they were thirsty and you put humidity in this body. You gave them
love.
Love through fluids.
Give them
love through fluids.
Give them dignity back through that.
So I never saw that as a really, for me, was like more like a butcher. I envy you that you made all the process to become the embalmer. Like I remember when I wanted to become embalmer, no one was, as I put myself in the Warteliste for the study, and the school never started because no one wanted to embalm. Like no one wanted to do the school, so I was the only one in Germany. They applied, and I was waiting. After 1 year, I say, come on, I can't wait for long. I become a Bestatter now, and that's good. But can I, Sophie, do a practicum with you?
Das wollen alle.
Can I attend one reconstruction? Because I want to see the love now.
Yes,
you can.
So,
can see.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
See the love,
See the love, yes. I want to be, but let's say one thing at the end, like embalming is not possible in Germany. Also, I mean, you can't be embalmed and
buried
under the earth, right?
Not at all. You have to check with the cemetery if it's possible or not, because there's process getting back to you don't have the embalming forever, so you have it for part time, that you have it maybe for 4 weeks, so you don't do this for all maybe years. For weeks, and then it's getting so the rotten process will get
started.
So
it's
just slower. But is it really bad for the soil and for the environment to put all that formaldehyde?
No, so it will get back to normal ground.
It just dissolves.
So,
okay.
Exactly.
But the formaldehyde.
That was a question that we got from listeners.
Yeah.
Like, is it like how environmentally friendly is it to bury
so
a corpse?
The formalin is going back to the normal process.
Okay.
Das ist Ameisensäure, also es wird zurück. Also der Boden wird dann sauer sein und es gibt die eventuell, dass sie Wachsleichen eventuell bilden, aber dann haben die einen schlechten Boden. Das heißt, sie müssen dann mit dem Friedhof dann checken. Ne?
Yeah, the problem of the Wachsleichen. Formic
acid.
Like this. So it's getting back to German cemeteries. Strange anyway, but you have always to check them with the ground and in what they're getting buried. When they're overground, they have to be embalmed and in a tin casket, this special thing and the casket. Yeah.
So that you know, people in Germany is not used to embalm the earth.
When,
no?
When they go to yeah
to other
over
country.
The ground or to foreign languages, countries.
You say
yeah,
languages.
Yeah, foreign
it's
languages. Always.
Yeah, because it's foreign languages.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Ah.
And they go to other countries. And yeah.
And do you do animals too?
No,
or
I
people
don't.
Ask you maybe that?
No,
it's
never.
Different? Is this the same?
It's they got a similar anatomy, so I would think.
It could
but
be a side business
never,
for
they
you.
Never asked me to do this. So
for your museum, I don't know. It's in Balma.
But
in
I think I can't do
that. Get a side job with Damien Hirst.
They dead animals. So I would cry. I think I can't do this.
Aha! No.
No. All right.
All right.
I think.
To be continued. I think.
Yeah,
it's not
I agree.
Wrapped up.
I agree. Yeah. This is. I think we need to wrap up this episode.
Can I ask Trix one? I want to ask Trix one question. Trix.
Yes.
What do you think about embalming? Like you are like someone that. Would say yes, embalm, or more like leave the dead and only embalming when they need it.
Das ist spannend. Dieses Thema hatten wir heute im Auto. Wir haben darüber gesprochen, wie invasiv darf eine Versorgung der Familie oder der Verstorbene, wenn er konnte, entscheidet das.
Yeah. Okay.
Nicht wir.
Yeah, so that's also exactly the way we work. And I think that's a really nice note to end on. Like, whatever, if maybe the deceased already made arrangements before they died, and if not the family, like it's up to them what they need to appropriately say goodbye. And it might be that they don't need any reconstruction, embalming or anything because they want to, because either it was a peaceful death or whatever, or they feel like they want to face whatever happened. But if they need it, that's where Sophie comes in and she restores at least an outer peace in this situation of turmoil.
So not invasive at possible, to stay not invasive as possible.
To do as little as...
It's not
necessary.
Like the American. Like the American, which is like everyone is involved, right? Just
but I
and spray paint.
But I think in America, they overthink now. I think they're in a change too.
Yes.
That they got more biological and they're in the process that they also say, oh, we want it also green, and we want it not that everyone...
Yeah, they have to, because now is the direction, but they think they have to.
They think, but I think they are overthinking now, so that's what I see.
Sorry.
Yeah, also England, so they also embalm.
In like the Anglo-Saxon countries, they do that a lot.
Here, yeah, Germany, it's not common to...
But yeah, it's not common here, and so. I think that's a good thing. Because I also feel like, of course, to make it easier, your work is super important in cases where it's just not possible. I think it's always the better choice to make it possible for people to see the deceased and to then do reconstruction.
Exactly.
If they can't take it the way it would be without that,
yeah.
It's definitely better than not doing it at all because the person just looks too bad. You know, that's just unhealthy. And I think we're all on the same page with that. We really need to wrap this up now. There's one last question I have for you now that I already prepared you for in the beginning. So we have this awesome playlist, Magnolia, no, Hearst Case Scenario Funeral Songs.
Magnolia's ass.
Hearst Case Scenario Funeral Songs on Spotify that we would like you to add
your
to.
Song.
Is there a song you would want to play on the radio right now?
On the radio, do you?
Yeah.
I don't think that's on the radio. But there is...
No, you want to play a song that we play as well.
That is going to be on the radio.
Call Me When You're Dead. That's...
Oh, man,
I don't
not
know,
much fantasy.
I don't know if it's... I think you can find it on YouTube.
Okay.
I don't think that it's on Spotify.
Who is that? Who is singing that?
Oh, it's Heiko Strom and Helvis. And it's Call Me When You're Dead. It's a song about my neighbor calling in my funeral home where I worked before because he wanted to drink a coffee with me.
Right.
No, that's not the one. There's two guys sitting on the hearse. No.
Okay. So
only when you're dead.
All right. So we have time for one song that we're going to play to you now, to all your listeners that listen to the radio premiere of this episode on Keith FM. Everybody who's on Spotify, you're late to the game and you need to go and look this up on wherever you find music videos. It's Heiko Strom featuring Helvis, Call Me When You're Dead, which is Sophie's choice.
Sophie's choice, like the book.
So this was Hearst Case Scenario for this week. Tune in again 2 weeks from now, and goodbye.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.